I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
All right. We are recording. Welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast. I'm your host, Pickle Dick. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know. Where's I'm that? Chapstick Charlie.
You are Chapstick Charlie. Yes, anyway, we are going to do a kind of a classic here today. We did this before many moons ago when we were going to start a different podcast. And we're going to get a story from James or two or four. But we're going to talk ghosts. Are they real? So
it's classic.
Boom, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think this is something that a lot of people have either experienced or believe. I mean, it's a pretty big thing. There's still shows on now about ghost hunters. And, you know, we watched a couple videos earlier about the science of ghost, you know, sightings and whatever. So right. it's a cool topic, you know. And even though I'm the skeptic, the neighborhood skeptic here, I think it's a cool thing to look into. Really quick before we start, though, I got to mention,
big news.
We're trying to make this thing legit now. We're trying to make it legit. Today I worked and created new accounts everywhere on Twitter, Instagram, and a Facebook page, and it's all at Smokescreen Podcast. No, I'm sorry, at Smokescreen Cast. I couldn't get the whole podcast; it's too long. So Smokescreen Cast on Instagram, Twitter, and there's a Facebook page as well. And we did actually create a new Patreon account to keep this separate from the main channel. So there is a Patreon now available as well to support the podcast if you would like to. We'll tinker around with I'll have James look at it with me because I just created everything, got it set up, and tinker around with the levels or whatever.
Right.
But that is there now, and I want to thank our first Patreon, actually.
Yeah, big news. We got one.
We got our first Patreon. Thank you to Smokescreen, Chris over at Smokescreen. No.
Chris, you've always been a big supporter of this podcast.
I have, man.
I really appreciate it.
No, it was a test run. It's a test run. But yes, I am technically the first one. But yeah, no, I wouldn't seriously throw that out there because we've been talking about it a little bit because, you know, James has always been on the channel, but this is like the official. He's half and half on this podcast. So it was hard to keep up with two, you know what I mean? The only Patreon for the channel.
Right.
And then separate all that out. So this is supporting 50-50, the podcast only. So that's now available.
And I was kind of blanked out, you know what I mean? How I was going through what I was going to say in my mind as you were talking. You mentioned Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter, and a Facebook page, yeah.
All right. And is it – you didn't say anything about our brought to you by or anything like that, right?
No, we don't have a sponsor. Unless you guys – and wait a minute. Is Badger still sponsoring us again this week?
This is brought to you by Ricky's Muffler Shop, Landis, North Carolina.
That's about the level we're on, too. If you're having a tough time with your carburetor, Ricky is your man.
Holy shit.
We can do some promos now. We can do some promos. Anyway, yeah, seriously, though, anybody that does feel like they want to support the podcast on Patreon, we really appreciate it. This, you know, I set the first goal at like $100, so that covers the whole podcast. That covers the cost of the website and all the different platforms. Because again, really quickly, this is available on YouTube, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean. And those all cost money. So just really appreciate anybody who wants to support the podcast. I know a lot of people say they enjoy it. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And we really, this is something that has really inspired me. Feel like, you know, setting goals and attaining goals again.
Yeah.
I feel big things for this. And, you know, I mean, by big, I mean, you know, that's just in my mind, you know.
I mean,
feel like this is going to be something we'll be doing for a while.
I hope so. I really enjoy it. And I'm just saying, let me just say, we're coming for Joe Rogan. We're coming for you, Joe. So
look out, brother.
Look out, man. Now, maybe one day we'll have him as a guest on our podcast.
That would be so freaking cool. let him lay in our isolation tank.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is a closet, by the way.
But yeah, I do look up to Joe. And what I like about his podcast, and I listen to a lot of them, but, and I think it's kind of what we feel here is we'll talk about anything.
Yes.
You know,
so. That's what I enjoy about it. He can have anybody on, and you don't even have to like necessarily or care about or even know the guest because they're going to talk about all kinds of topics.
Yeah.
Yes, they will lean towards whatever that guest does, but they will go into like just regular everyday, you know, pop culture, politics, whatever. So it's cool. And that's one thing we mentioned about the Patreon before too, and I added to one of the levels, and we can adjust it or whatever. Like I said, it's just everything's there and set up and ready to go, but we want guests, and we want Patreon guests.
Right.
On here. So that's going to happen. So we would do a Skype call or whatever. And then, as we mentioned before, I know I keep saying it, but for new people, we are going to add video. It's going to be months away, but we are going to add a video in a new studio setup. I just have to move first.
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting on. I've been waiting since March. I'm
excited that we actually have the Instagram now. So
yeah,
you posted that post of us getting ready to record. That's exciting. So they can kind of see us here.
Yeah, in our living room,
habitat.
in our quote unquote studio.
Yes.
And by studio, we mean moving shit out of the way.
We like to pronounce it studio.
That's right. Anyway, so on to the topic. Enough with the shenanigans. We did this a long time ago. Let's kind of set the stage here.
Yeah.
I am the skeptic of everything. I'm sorry, it's just the way I am, but I just question everything. James, as a believer, I believe you still are in that category of ghosts, supernatural stuff, all that good stuff. This is, I guess, in particular ghosts, because you're going to tell your ghost story again, I believe.
Right.
And so that's where we stand, and we talked about it before, but... So I'm the skeptic, he's the believer, but I do have an open mind about things. I'm not saying, for example, when he tells his story, I believe something happened.
Right.
I just don't believe it's what he says happened.
Exactly, and what I was going to say.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
He believes I believe what I saw.
Yes, that you know? There you go. You said it better than that.
Because we've talked about this, you know, since we became friends and started hanging out. These are kind of things we like talking about anyway, so I shared my stories with him, and he's heard these stories a lot, and I am a believer. I'm totally a believer, and he has asked me, you know, the normal questions he would ask somebody trying to, you know, figure it out. And this one, the story I'm going to tell you here in a minute, really, you know, I believe down to the core of my being that it was something supernatural. But I guess I'll start out by saying this and kind of lay out the groundwork for this is I was raised, you know, around and sometimes by a grandmother who told me ghost stories from when she grew up. She was a very superstitious lady and made me superstitious. You know, just
right.
A couple
right.
odd things I'll throw out there is you know, you could never in her house, you could not walk around the house with one shoe on and one shoe off. That would be bad luck.
So oh,
if you're
the
getting
whole,
ready for school and something happens and you jump up and run and you got one shoe on and one shoe off, she would call you down and make you go put the
damn,
other shoe
so
on.
That not like not even walking under ladders or
right.
an umbrella in the house or
not all those regular ones. Like, we could not. She always had a wooden rocking chair with cushions in it. That's what she used in the living room. You could not leave a rocking chair rocking with nobody in it. That's bad luck.
Oh, and I never heard that one.
No specifics about what would happen to you, but, you know, bad luck is bad luck. And,
right.
And so you grow up that way, hearing all these different things. And then she would put us to bed with, you know, stories. And I say us, I mean me and my cousin Gina, my little sister, and my other cousins. She would tell these fantastic stories about ghosts up in the mountains where she grew up.
I was just going to say, you just reminded me, I actually have a book that I bought, and you've been to Uori with me.
Yeah.
Where we go camping a lot, and there was a cool little paperback book in there, the Uori Ghost Stories, and it's just it's a really cool little book, and I bought that. I enjoy reading them. You know, because there's old legends up in those hills, because those technically that's the oldest mountain range in the United States, and people are not aware of it. It's 45 minutes away from here.
Right.
Because they're really just rolling hills now. They're so ancient. But sorry, that reminded me of that. I do enjoy reading the kind of ghost story thing.
Well, I do believe that in places like, you know, the Appalachian Mountains and whatever, people are isolated.
Yeah.
They grow up with a lot of lore and these stories told generation to generation, and it becomes ingrained in your psyche.
Yes.
And almost gets genetically passed down to, I think you're almost predisposed to being a believer in this stuff, because I never grew up in a world where, you know, in a family, I mean, where people didn't believe in ghosts. It was just right. Part of growing up.
And I'm the opposite. I was never told a ghost story. My grandmother never mentioned anything like it. There was no superstitions in the house, right, or whatever. So, therefore, I think it leads to it. I think at least it's part of it. I've never had an experience with supernatural ghosts or what I thought would be. Not that I haven't had thoughts of it. I mean, anytime you hear something banging in the house or something falls off a shelf, you know, certainly you go to that, because we've been, like you just said, it's in the culture.
Yeah,
it is. Every movie you've ever seen, you know, the first horror movie was, you know, The Exorcist, for Christ's sake. So it's not that it don't cross your mind, but then you kind of, you know, at least for me, it's like, okay, that's all bullshit. It was just whatever, you know. So,
and, you know, speaking of The Exorcist, that movie in particular, that was one of the movies, I point to that and Jaws as the two movies that ruined my life.
And yes, Jaws. Jaws for sure.
And, you know, The Exorcist came out in 73, and so, I mean, I was born in 73, so I didn't see it in the theaters on its first run, but my parents, who were teenagers, took me to the drive-in to see The Exorcist, because, you know, drive-ins would replay movies.
Right, right.
And I saw The Exorcist when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I remember starting out in the front seat with them, between them, climbing to the back seat when they realized this might be too much for me.
Right.
And telling me to lay down and go to sleep. And then me peeking over the back seat looking. And after seeing that at that young age, I remember so well many times as a child laying in my bed going, please don't let this bed start shaking. Yeah, right. Please don't let this bed start bouncing. If that chest of drawers flies in front of that door,
yes,
you know,
yes,
I'm just gonna die.
And that
right
was
here.
Me, you know, as a kid, the poltergeist got me.
Yes.
My mom will tell you that story actually. Poltergeist got me. I was really, really young, and I remember we lived in some small apartment, and for, I think she told me, 2 months I tried to sneak in there and sleep in her bed.
Yeah.
When I was second grade, I think it was, second or third.
Yeah, dude.
So, yeah, I mean, because every time you watch TV from now on, you saw snow on the TV.
Every time.
And it's still, to this
That's
day.
That's funny you say that.
To this day. I mean, anybody that got scarred like that.
I've never said that out loud, but you're right. Every time, after you see the poltergeist, it's like taking a shower after watching Psycho.
Yes, it is.
Every time after that, when you're in a shower,
yep,
that
crosses your mind.
It does. Let me peek out here. I might have shampoo in my eye, but I'm gonna peek with one eye, you know, just to make sure coast is clear. So poltergeist does do that.
Yes,
the snow on the screen will. They're back. That's crazy. You said that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So anyway, there was a meal house here in Kannapolis where I was raised in the very beginning. That was the first house. That was the one that was on my birth certificate. And the one bedroom in that house was haunted.
Just one.
Saying it now is crazy. But yeah, that room, we kept both doors shut because, you know, most meal houses, you can walk in a circle through the rooms.
Yep.
We kept both doors shut there. So if you ever went in there, it felt colder. And again, this is because you've been told it's haunted. And
right.
So the story goes, there's two stories about that room in particular. One, my Aunt Sissy was in there by herself in the bed reading a book. She looks up over the top of the book and sees a tall man standing in the room with her. My whole life I've pictured Abraham Lincoln. Because she said he was tall, when you skinny, say with a top hat.
Yeah, when you say that, that's what comes to mind. Yeah. That's exactly what came to my head.
So she screamed, threw the book at him, and said he walked into the closet, like, without opening the door, into the closet.
Right, right.
So
phased through.
Right. So everybody comes in there, my grandpa and grandma come in there and look in the closet. Nobody's in there, of course. So I grew up hearing that story. Well, then relatives were visiting from the mountains, and everybody was in bed. They heard something scratching at the door. They were sleeping in that room. Heard something scratching at the door. They go to the door, open it. Nobody's there, but the cat is weaving in and out, doing a figure eight on somebody's legs who's not standing there.
Oh, I got you right.
Yeah,
right.
You know how cats will rub your legs, lean into you? They were leaning into something that was not there. So, as the story goes, again, I was really young. They packed up and went back to the mountains that night. They didn't feel safe.
They ran to the mountains that were so scared, right. where all the ghosts actually are.
Ichabod Crane.
You know, from all the dead miners and shit.
But, yeah, they sure did. I heard those stories growing up. That set the tone for me. All I ever felt was a weird feeling in there. Never saw, heard anything in that house, ever. Now, later in life, my aunt and uncle had this deal where they were given a house. All they had to do was move it, and they could have it. So my uncle paid the moving costs to get the thing jacked up. And
is this the uncle I know?
Yeah.
Turned
his cable on?
Yeah.
Well, you've done that for both my uncles.
That's right.
The one you jumped off the U-Haul.
Yes. That where we killed ourselves moving that fucking bedroom suit. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I'll never, because I call that the spawn of Satan. That was the heaviest damn piece of furniture.
Truth be known, that's why I had neck surgery.
Right. I remember you said later that's when you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
That was insane. Anyway,
that's what ruined me.
That was that was definitely haunted.
Agreed. Well, he paid to have the house jacked up and moved to the lot beside his current house. It sat there for a few years, and then he actually slid it over to the side and made a split-level house out of two houses. It was done perfectly, seamlessly. If you rode by there now, you would never know they weren't built at the same time.
Right.
And so anyway, once they connected those two houses, that new house was supposedly haunted, and that's where they moved all the bedrooms, was into the new place. Well, my grandmother,
so the old one,
yeah,
like
the old one where they actually did live, became like bigger living room. Now they knocked out walls and dining
room. So it infected the new one.
No, Chris, there was a literally, when you walked from the old one into the new one, it's like it washed off of you. The creepy feeling as soon as you stepped through the doorway. It was really crazy how that worked. But as soon as you went the other way and stepped into the house, you could feel the creepiness come all over you. And again, that could be in your mind. I know that. Because you're told this. Like,
right.
You hear these adults telling these stories about an old man crying in the bathroom. Well, my grandmother fell on hard times, went through a divorce, and moved in with them. She worked second shift, so she would come home at night around midnight when everybody was in bed. She would, the next day, when she would get up to see them, she'd say, "Thank y'all for leaving that bathroom light on for me last night so I could see to get my room."
Right.
And you know they're going to say, "We didn't leave the bathroom light on for you."
Yeah. Yes.
So even up till my grandmother died, whenever she talked about that old man ghost, she would say he had a crush on her, you know, because he would do that, leave the light on for her. And
I'm sorry, I just got Motel 6 in my head. We'll leave the light on for you.
That's
another sponsor, by the way.
Yes, exactly.
Motel 6.
And so they had a pool put in, and to come in from the pool, you had to go into that new addition of the house. And I remember running from the back door through there to get into the living room of the old place, just because you'd start walking through there, but you would just always feel like somebody was right behind you, breathing down your neck. It was so creepy, man. And the laundry room was in there. When you go in there and start folding laundry, you would just get creeped out. I hated it. But again, never heard anything there. Never saw anything there. Fast forward till I'm old enough, I'm living on my own. We're living in a trailer, me and two or three buddies, renting this trailer. It's like a party house. Well, they were all in a band, and they were at band practice. I was there by myself. I just got home from work. I put on the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Lionheart.
Damn.
I remember this so specifically.
We're showing our age here.
Yes. And I put it in a VCP. This thing wouldn't even record. It's just a video cassette player.
Right, yes. Oh, and my God.
I put it in there and started watching it. I fell asleep, right? I wake up, and there is a little boy standing at the foot of the couch. This is my first ghost experience of my life where I've seen something. So the way it happened was I woke up kind of disoriented. You know, I fell asleep on the couch. I expected them to wake me up. I wake up. They're still not there. I look. The screen on the television is blue. And then my eyes drift over to the end of the couch, and there's this little boy standing there. He has dark hair, dark brown hair, maybe black, straight bangs across. I'd say he's about 6 years old. Bowl cut.
The bowl cut.
In my mind, who I see is Roseanne's son, DJ, when he was little.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go.
That's who my mind sees. He's standing there. He's wearing one of those alligator-type polo-looking shirts. It's got like red collar and red and gray horizontal stripes, kind of Freddy Krueger color combo, right?
Right.
But it's the short sleeve shirt, and he's smiling at me. Now I scoot up on the couch all the way to the arm with my feet and everything, and he turns around and walks down the hallway. You know how trailers always have that long hallway,
right?
And he went down the hallway towards where my bedroom was. Well, we had just moved in there. I had a brand new waterbed. I just got back from the North Carolina State Fair, took my money and bought a brand new waterbed.
Right.
Hadn't even set it up yet. And there's a ghost in my room. He walked into my room. So I jump up. I turn the lights on in the kitchen, the living room, call my mom. Mom, I just saw a ghost. It's a little boy. Told her exactly what I told you. She said, son, are you doing drugs again?
Again.
She said, I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm sober. She's like, what do you want me to do? Come down here and whoop a little six-year-old boy ghost's ass for you? No sympathy. No compassion whatsoever. I was like, you're a lot of help, Mom. So I hung up, and my buddies came home.
I was going to say, wait a minute. I don't know how long the time period was, but you didn't go back there and look, did you?
Hell no. But dude, I was frozen.
I can't believe you stayed in the damn trailer.
Yes. They came in, and I told them. So went in Brad's room, got his damn shotgun. And here we go, tiptoeing down that hallway with a shotgun. Thank God there wasn't a little boy stowing away in that house. He would have got his head blown off.
Yeah.
But we yanked open the closet doors and looked in there and everything. There's nothing. So from then on, we would be hanging out partying. Obviously, the waterbed was never assembled. Me and Travis, who were supposed to be sharing that room, slept in the living room on the floor every night. But in the evenings,
damn brand new water bed just laying there in a box.
Yes. And in the evening, when we'd be partying sometimes on the weekends, somebody would bring it up. Say, James, tell that story about the little boy. So here I'd go telling a story all dramatic and everything. And dude, I'm telling you, the closet door in the living room would open on its own. Odd shit would happen every time I would tell the story. We moved from that trailer to a house in Concord. We were all hanging out in there. I told the story. they had me tell the story again. There's nothing but candles burning. You know, everybody loved this little boy story. I'm telling you, it was also for a few years. We talked about it every time we got together. So anyway, I tell the story. The stereo's not on or anything. A beer can falls off the stereo speaker and lands upright on the floor, and nobody's near it. It's what, like 4 feet
the bottle trick
from the near
flipping the bottle trick.
That's exactly right. It fell and landed straight up. Oh, but this one didn't have any liquid in it. It was an empty can.
Right.
You would think it would tumble and roll. It fell and landed straight up and down. Again, could that happen 1 in a million times and we could try it 1 million times? It would never happen again. Yes, I know that. But it increased the legend in all of our minds, right? So everybody would bring it up. Remember, he followed us to the other house.
Right,
the little boy.
So now he's still with you.
Yeah. And so for years after that, I would be asked, is the little boy living in my house, wherever I was living at the time? He faded away from me because the story I'm getting ready to tell took its place.
Right.
Because that one, I honestly could say, when people heard me start that and say I just woke up, I know I lost the skeptics when I said that, right? So as real as that seemed for me, when I apply that logic to it, I know there's a chance I was in a waking moment, a daze there, whatever.
Right.
My brain hadn't adjusted to my surroundings and everything.
Right. Yet. And so with the placebo effect of having been raised that way and heard other stories.
Yes.
And then you're just waking up, good chance that it was in your head.
There's a really good chance.
Right.
And everything that happened after that, doors opening, things like that, merely coincidental, bad hinges, bad latches, whatever.
Yeah, doors off balance where, yes, you know, swing open when you don't latch it, yeah.
It's all about
definitely
timing.
Definitely seen that a bunch of times. Right,
yeah,
right,
it's just
right.
about the timing. And since I told the story 1 million times,
yes,
that increased the chances that the timing would be right.
Right.
All
right?
So
the legend of DJ grew until he faded.
Really did, because there were so many witnesses for the other stuff after that.
Right, right.
And, I mean, people would get drunk and start cussing him. And I would get mad. I would be like, dude, don't get him back. You know?
Yeah, right.
I
don't want to see this little motherfucker again.
I don't want to see him again. And they kept saying, we want to see him. You know, fuck you, show your face, you little punk, and all this stuff. I mean, we're just a bunch of knuckleheads, 19 years old, you know, 18, right. 19. And so anyway, I'm about 20 years old at this time. I was watching some live music at this local place, Fargo's. Used to have live music all the time.
Oh, Fargo's.
After it closed at 2 a.m., I went back to Chris's house. Another Chris, sorry.
Right, guys. Right. We always got to clarify that. This is, I didn't know James yet at this point.
Right. Yeah. He met me like a year after this happened. So we go back to Chris's house. I'm going to crash there. As we're walking in, Chris says, hey, man, don't forget, when we fall asleep, be sure that the TV's off. Because last time we crashed here, you left the TV on all night when we fell asleep, and my dad got really mad. And I respected his dad, knew him almost my whole life. So I was like, yeah, no problem, man, no problem.
Right, yeah, that was something back in those days, man. You just did. People tried to save money, man.
Yeah.
Don't leave the Frigidaire open. Don't run in and out, letting the air out. Turn off the damn lights when you're not. You're the fan or whatever the hell it was.
You heard it all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And so, that's a good way to say it. It's like, so when he said that, I didn't think his dad was an asshole.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, yep, that's what my granny would say.
Exactly.
You know?
Close the damn Frigidaire.
Yeah.
I heard that. You know how many times me and Chad heard that? Oh,
yeah,
my God.
But they want you to have your mind made up when you open the refrigerator. They don't want you to hold it open and think about what you want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's the thing. We go in there, and Chris was way tired than I was, obviously, because he's on the couch. I'm on the love seat. We're watching TV. Next thing I know, he's gone. He's asleep. So I started getting a little tired and thinking, man, it's them. The love seat's uncomfortable. I can't. I'm too big to sleep here. So I turned the television off and laid down with a throw pillow on the floor right beside, parallel to the couch. So I'm on my stomach with my arms underneath my head on this throw pillow. It is now pitch black in the house.
Could you cut the damn TV off?
Yes, I did. So it's about 2:33 a.m. And I hear boom, 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 stomping down the attic stairs. The door busts open. Boom, stomp, boom, 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 through the kitchen, back towards their back door and their bathroom. And by this time, I am locked up in fear, because I knew when we got there, everybody was in bed, and all these stories, you know, that I had heard from when we were like in sixth grade about them hearing classical music playing upstairs came back to me, right?
Right.
But he had told me a long time ago, because we would go up in his attic and listen to records, right? Well, sometimes he'd go down to use the bathroom, leave me up there, I'd get freaked out. Now, I'm about 12 years old at this time, and I'm saying, hey, dude, you know, you used to tell me about hearing music and stuff up here, and y'all thought there might be a ghost or something. Oh, no, no. My mom got rid of the Ouija board we had, and we haven't heard it since.
All right. We got rid of the Ouija board.
Hadn't thought about this damn. But see, that's a fact. That's the truth. Even though it was a Parker Brothers, because yeah, I'd seen it.
Right. That's what I've always thought was crazy about the Ouija board stuff that gets involved in ghost stories or seances. Yeah. Since you can buy it at fucking Kmart.
Oh,
it's made by Parker Brothers.
Stacked there with Monopoly. Exactly. And chutes and ladders and everything. Right. A Ouija.
Exactly.
And, So it's not like I walked into that door at 20 thinking about the house being haunted, right? So I'm laying there.
But it damn sure came back to you when you heard something.
It came back full force. So I'm laying there, heard it. It's probably 6 feet from my head is where that attic door opened up. Here's the kicker. Their attic door, it opened up into their kitchen. The attic door did not have a doorknob. It latched by pushing it in and taking a butcher knife, sliding the blade behind the door frame, and the handle of the butcher knife was what held the door closed.
Right. This just makes it even better, the story, the butcher knife.
Yeah.
It makes it even better.
Because it's the classic.
It wasn't like
knife.
A fucking spoon. It's the fucking Michael Myers butcher knife.
100% what Michael Myers would be proud to carry.
Right.
Is exactly what it was. And here's the thing. So if you were in the closet, right, you couldn't get out. It would be like a clubhouse lock or something.
Yes.
You know, it would just keep you locked in. And, excuse me, so I'm thinking something just stomped down the attic. The door opened, you know, with the knife in its way. The door busted open. They stomped through the kitchen. I jump up. I grab Chris and I start shaking him. I'm like, Chris, wake up, wake up. He's like, what? I said, dude, something just stomped down your attic and stomped through your kitchen. He said, oh, man, it's just our ghost. Go back to sleep. It's not going to hurt you. Now, I'm on my knees looking down at my friend, thinking, he just said it was a damn ghost. Don't worry about it. He's got to be asleep. I shook him so hard. It was like, look at me. Look at me in the eyes, Chris. Chris, it's James. Wake up. Look at me in the eyes. He's like, what, dude? I'm awake. I said, something just stomped down your attic steps, stomped through your kitchen. He said, James, I'm awake. Listen, it's just our ghost. Go back to sleep. I promise it's not going to hurt you. So I said, screw that shit. I got on the couch with him. I am now laying, holding his ankles. Because my head's at his feet, my feet are at his head.
69.
Yes. We are on the couch in a 69 position. And, dude, I lay there in fear just clutching his damn ankles. Woke up the next day to his brother going, what are you two hobos doing here on the couch?
Right.
And so I get up and I'm excited to tell them, you know, because now it's daylight and I'm all cocky and shit.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you ain't going to believe this. And I told him exactly what happened. And his brother and his mom, his brother's older than us, by the way, by about 8 years. He's passed away now, but he was our hero when we were growing up. He sat there with his with Chris's mom, and they told me about this ghost and how this ghost has held his brother down in the bed, like by the shoulders, to where he was praying for Jesus and stuff, to, you know, let me up and all this stuff. And the mom was telling me about all these mischievous things that it had done, how many times she heard it. But his dad, so both of his brothers and Chris had heard the ghost. Mark had been grabbed by it. His mom had interactions with it. But the dad had never heard it or was just so stubborn. He wanted to calm everybody down. He denied it. But he always said he never heard a thing in that house. Okay.
Okay, so this is a new piece. I've heard this story like four times. This is a new piece of information here. So he never heard or saw it, or at least denied it.
And yeah, because they all said he was denying it to be the cool guy, to keep everybody calm. Because he was not going to sell that house. You know, that he had worked to buy this house. He was not going to sell it because two people had died in that house. That is a fact. My grandmother grew up just a few hundred yards from that house and was naming the names of the people who died in there. One was an old man. That's who she said that I probably heard was this old man that died there. And then there was a young girl who supposedly died there, like her jealous husband or boyfriend killed her there. Now, that was shortly before Chris and him moved in. It wasn't long after they moved in that I heard all the stories about the classical music and the stuff here and banging upstairs and stuff. And then the mom got rid of the thing, the Ouija board, and it stopped. Never heard anything else until I start telling this story and they start confessing. Because his other brother would hang out with my mom sometimes, his oldest brother. And he would talk about weird things that happened in that house that felt like horrible dreams and stuff. But he never called it a ghost. Right. But they were really crazy, vivid dreams when he was in bed. This weird stuff would happen to him. But he never called it a ghost. But three of the five specifically said the ghost, you know, mischievous, moving stuff, and obviously grabbed Mark. So the thing is, for me, in this specific instance, because I have replayed this a million times in my life, I was not asleep. I was fresh. I had just laid down there, just gotten comfortable as you can get with no cover on a carpet floor, you know, literally laying there on your stomach in your clothes.
Yeah, so you're not fading out there on that, in that situation.
No, it would have took me a little while. So I was definitely fresh, and then I start thinking, well, what could it have been? Because here's the thing. The next day, they said the kitchen door was closed.
Right.
So the knife had to have been in place, back in place. So as we've talked about in the past, we've talked about it. What do you have, a ghost with manners?
Right.
He's going to close the door, raise the knife up, put it back.
Right. He stomps down the stairs pissed off, apparently. He opens the door by slamming it open.
Right. Bust it open.
Bust on through somewhere, keeps going through the house to wherever he's going, and then he comes back quietly.
Yeah, tiptoes back,
closes the door nice and quiet with no squeaks, puts the knife back in place, and
I'll get a better reaction next time, damn it.
maybe that's what it is.
So and then I'm thinking, okay, a couple bowling balls on the edge of the steps could have rolled down or something, but they would have got stopped by the door. Then when it hit the floor, they wouldn't have stomped all the way back. It would have been a 90 degree angle to walk out the door and then take a left and go through the kitchen. So that's out of the question. I don't know. I really honestly believe that I was in the presence of a ghost. And when I say ghost now, it could be some kind of spirit trapped in limbo there in that house on that property or whatever. I never spent the night there again. I never did. And I had spent the night there several times. Probably in my life, I probably spent the night there a dozen times. Because his parents weren't big on letting me spend the night. If we camped out in the backyard, then that's another story.
Right, right.
But in their house, they were just particular.
The previous times, nothing ever happened.
No, just creepy feelings, like when he would go to the bathroom and stuff. I would be in the attic or in that one room. Sometimes in a bathroom, like when I did take a bath or a shower there, I would get weirded out. But that would be always because of the stories, you know, the previous stories. I don't know that I would have been creeped out without hearing that. But here's the thing, that right there, whether I heard it or anything, and then to know that I did wake him up, and in his calmest waking moment, he casually said it's a ghost.
Right.
I know he's had experiences there. For him to say it that casually,
you know,
he's definitely had some experiences there that he attributed to a ghost. So I believe it. I really believe. I never saw it. I never saw it because I didn't look up, didn't want to look up. I was clutched in fear at 20 years old, probably the height of my physical abilities,
right.
If I'm ever going to face a ghost, that would have been the best time. But no, I was scared to death, and I'll always believe until something happens at that house and somebody tells me something, I don't know. I totally believe it. I don't know how to explain it away. Because when we've talked about it before, Chris, you've actually said, okay, if it's real and somebody was looking, they would have seen the door close and the knife float up off the floor and slide its way back into it. Because we know the door's real. We know the knife's real.
That's exactly. That's where you start. If you're trying to explain something, it's the things you know you can.
Right. So that's my ghost story. And honestly, it's the last ghost story that, you know, it's happened. The last ghost encounter, the first real one and the last one I've had. So it's not that these things are real prevalent in my life. Do I get creeped out? You've lived with me for a couple of years. I do. I can get creeped out.
Right.
And to show you how common it is for me, guys, we were actually doing a live stream Sunday night.
Right.
I came back to my stool after we took a break. My wallet was laying on the floor. And what did I say? A ghost pickpocket.
A ghost pickpocket. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's how quick my mind turns to ghosts.
Yes.
When something odd happens.
It's like him looking at the, I just know from experience of watching TV and you looking at the ocean, it's shark.
Exactly.
It's jaws fucked you up, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. People think, oh, look at those beautiful waves. I'm thinking, look what's hiding beneath them.
Exactly. Yeah. Something's under there trying to eat you. But yeah, I mean,
so
that's...
yeah, take the floor and you kind of...
Well, I mean...
Because you've heard that story a bunch.
I have. I've heard it a million times, but it's... And you told it exactly the same way, except the father piece. I hadn't remembered that part, at least, about him being in the same house and not hearing anything, or at least denying it from whatever. But yeah, but that's what I always go to, is things like, you know, when you try to look into it from a logical standpoint or scientific or whatever, is why... Like you, it's almost like the previous story you had. You had the ghost in the house that you may have saw, may or may not have seen, the little boy. So you had DJ the ghost, right?
Yeah, DJ the ghost.
But DJ followed you. But this case, in most cases, they seem to be bound to some place.
Yeah.
Which is really odd to me.
Yeah.
The other thing is you never hear, I mean, if it happens, I'm sure it's rare, but you never hear ghost stories in daytimes. Like every ghost hunter show... They all go somewhere at night when everything's off. And I get that to a degree because you want to go when there's no trucks going by or whatever. So I understand that part of it, but you don't hear about ghost stories during the day. So what makes night a thing? Like you said in your thing, we talked about that, that there's something physical got moved if you're hearing it. There's something like, I even thought about the bowling ball thing you said. I was thinking in my head, you know, it could have been something rolling down, dunk, 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 you know, the stairs or something.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It would bang against the door at the end.
Yeah.
But the door wouldn't open and be closed back. And those weird things is what don't make any sense for me. Not saying your story specifically either, but just any general story. And then it's a friendly ghost. It won't hurt you. I'm not worried about it. They're all sleeping and they're sound asleep, but yet it held somebody down.
Right. And I was aggravated at Chris when I heard that. I was like,
Right.
Surely your brother has told you that story a million times. You know, And let me say this about his dad, because that always annoyed me. But when you have kids, because they moved in there, Chris was in kindergarten. They started hearing stuff pretty quick after that. I would say that was kind of a fatherly protective mechanism. Even if he did hear something or notice something moved, I guess to keep, you know, because his son had to live there. He was stuck living there, his little boy.
Right, right.
I guess to keep him feeling, you know, safe in his own house, he would have to deny or not act scared in his own house.
Yeah, as the leader of the house. I could definitely see that.
But I would like to talk to him now.
Yeah, yeah. I could definitely see that because I've been not in a ghost situation, but I've been in that situation as a father where you got to kind of be the strong one. You want to break down and cry or whatever, but you can't. I get that. You know, the psychology.
Freaked out. You got to be the cool headed one,
right? Yeah. So I get that to an extent, or it could be like we were talking about at the very beginning. You know, you were already preconditioned, and maybe Chris and them. I don't know their past or whatever.
Agreed.
But he wasn't.
He wasn't.
If it's almost like if you don't believe it, you won't experience it, which it seems to be a pretty relevant thing.
I think if you when you're doing research, I think that could be like they. Yeah. Or they expose themselves to people that are believers. Now, how do they know?
Right. So that's just always been my thing is all the weird, because I mean, obviously ghosts go back thousands of years, and it was a religious thing. And I think people, at least in the South still today, you know, it's more of a religious thing. So that's why there's a belief in the first place,
right,
of spirits. Because, you know, like we were just watching that video, you know, we had talked about that on that podcast before, I believe.
Yeah.
Where they supposedly this guy measured at the time of death, the body loses, 21
grams
of weight, and they thought that was the soul or whatever. But then they explained it through science's, you know, perspiration or whatever it was. And then they had compared it to dogs and measured dogs at the time of death, and they didn't lose any weight.
Right.
But it was because they don't have sweat glands like we do. So, you know, that was just one example of how they started looking into it. And the sleep paralysis thing, now, we've both had real experience with that.
100%. Yes.
I've been there. It's weird. It's scary. It's weird. But once you've experienced it a few times, you know, you don't freak out as much.
Agreed.
You know, so you're not thinking supernatural is what I'm saying.
Agreed.
So I just think there's too many things to explain things. And then those weird, because I've been in those states, you know, those weird half asleep. It's like that sleep paralysis is very similar. You're conscious, but you still can't move because your brain's still in that mode of lockdown or, you know, being unconscious or whatever. So it's like in between. It's really weird and scary. I think there's just too many other things to explain that. But you can't explain everything.
No, you can't.
But you can't. There's no way. Things fall. Gravity works over time. Things get, you know, vibrated over to the edge of stuff, you know, all that kind of stuff
that you're not aware of. It's moving so slightly.
So minute.
Yeah.
It's like I was telling you when you were still here, you were sleeping in the back end of the house.
Yep.
And if it rained like it was doing earlier, or a little bit of wind, you know, you're just hearing the rain back there. So you're probably not thinking of it. I'm in my room. And I hear scratching on the walls and ceiling.
Right, right.
I know from experience that now if you were in there, you would be running into the door, clutching my ankles or something.
It's a squatch.
Exactly. But I know I know where that tree is, and I know how that tree rubs up against the siding when the wind blows pretty good. So so those type of things. And I've heard the house pop and creak and all that. I have a family member in a mill house right now, speaking of mill houses, they claim they have a ghost. They've never seen anything. It's just always noises and stuff. And it's like, there's just they're old houses. Pipes rattle and make noise and moan and groan and wood creaks and all that stuff. I mean, they still settle.
Yeah.
So there's just too many things that I think can be explained. But if you already believe in that thing because you've been told, like you said, by adults, especially because that really puts an impression on you.
It does.
As a kid, then that's what you go to.
Yeah, because it was not delivered to me like, now this may or may not be true.
Right, it was like, delivered as absolute fact.
Yeah, there are ghosts in the world.
Right.
You may not ever see one, but they are there. And so for me also, I just wanted to say one more thing that did happen to me that I've told you before. I think a lot of times people see dead loved ones and, you know, it's hard to let go of somebody that you love.
Yes.
You want to see them again so bad that they almost materialize before your eyes sometimes.
Yes.
Well,
I absolutely believe that's part of what's going on in the psyche when people experience this type of thing.
Yep. Yeah. And so I was delivering pizza when I met you in that big white van one time. And out of the blue, I smelled my grandfather in the van with me. Now, when I say that, I just want to smell him. He had a unique smell. He wore denim coveralls. And he was always tinkering with motors and cars and working on things. So it was like you had this weird mixture of the denim, his sweat, motor oil, kerosene, all blended together that made this smell that was my grandpa when you hugged him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it didn't stink. It was just his smell. And all of a sudden in my van, I smelled that. And there was like this calming came over me. I felt like he was there looking over me, and I didn't want to turn around because I didn't want the smell to go away because it was really peaceful. He had been dead at this time for maybe 4 years or 5 years. Loved him to death. He was a big part of my life. And so that, for me, it was a personal moment for me that I think maybe if you would have been riding in the van with me and smelled the same thing, or if I would have said, "Do you smell that?" you might not have smelled it. You know,
right,
it's a
right.
weird blend of fragrances or whatever. And so I left that going, my grandpa visited me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Whereas somebody else, they might have smelled a smell, reminded them of their grandpa. They might have gone on with their life and never felt anything like his spirit was there or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my mind is geared that way.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, speaking of that, you know, that reminded me of my mom. You know, my stepdad died early, and he had lost a leg before that, about a year before that. And, you know, my mom was, you know, was in that state, I believe. And she goes down to the beach where we went a lot. And she was out working. It was a little place at a campground. And, you know, where you stayed in your little, you know, RV or whatever, built on a deck, whatever.
Yeah.
Had a golf cart and drove down to the pier of the beach.
I love those places.
Yeah, loved it. Called Apache in Myrtle Beach. And she was out there working on, this is what she told me. She was out there working on the lighthouse. She had one of those, you know, 5-foot lighthouses that, you know, it's like the night light or whatever.
Yeah.
She was trying to get the bulb back on or something, and she said, because Doug was my stepdad, and he was, you know, the fixer. He could fix anything, work on cars, everything. But she was trying to get this damn thing rewired or something. I can't remember exactly, but the light wasn't working.
Did she have that lighthouse here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the lighthouse.
Well, another one.
But like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And my aunt's got one in her yard still.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. So it was like the Cape Hatteras lighthouse.
Yeah.
And it's got a light detector, so it cuts on at night automatically when the sun goes down.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I had that picture in my mind.
All it was she was trying to fix it, and she couldn't get something working, and she said, "Damn it, Doug, I wish you were here to fix this," and she said the light came on. But the other thing was, at the same time, she said, or shortly thereafter, she saw a bird. I don't know what kind of bird. I'm assuming a seagull, but there were also regular birds in that area because it's kind of there's some trees around. It's not, you know, just beach. Standing there on one leg, and and it sounds really,
I see what you're saying,
really, really cool, because she felt like it was Doug, you know, watching over,
yes,
helped her fix the lighthouse or whatever. But when you know, and at the time, I didn't say anything. I wasn't thinking anything about it as far as ghost versus, you know, reality versus ghost or science, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't in that mindset. But later on, when you think about it, it's like, how many times if you went and looked at the beach right now, would you see a seagull standing on one leg or some kind of bird? They do all the time.
Right.
So it's just one of those things where, again, it sounds really cool. Like, you know, that would be a good experience. And but when you think about it, it's like, was it just coincidence? I mean, I don't know. I can never prove either way. I'm not trying to. It was just one of those things that reminded me, like you said, of the smell.
Yeah.
To other people, that bird wouldn't have meant a damn thing.
Exactly right.
And, you know, of course, working on lights, I mean,
and right
shorts
when you
can
say
flip
that,
on any time.
Yeah. Of course it could be coincidental. Like the beer can thing I was talking about earlier.
Right.
It could be very coincidental, but right when something's said,
yes,
then it happens.
And that's what makes it an actual experience.
And the person condition almost wants it to be.
Yes, absolutely.
Then that makes a big difference
too. And I'll tell you another thing really quick too, as far as a story, not that I haven't had any personal experience, but that's kind of the point of this story, was after my grandparents died, me and my cousin who grew up like a brother with me, some of you guys have seen him on the channel in the past. We lived together in my grandparents' old house for probably 3 years or so, I guess.
Yeah, I remember over there playing Risk.
Yeah, it was before I moved in. It was the house I lived in before I bought this one. And we had actually thought about that. Like, would that be a thing? You know, because something got brought up one day, you know, down the road after we decided to move in, and Chad had actually thought about it or something. Like, well, would Mama and Papa still be here in some way?
Right.
But throughout that time, that 2 or 3 years, we never seen or heard anything. We never saw anything weird. We never heard noises, you know, other than like, you know, we knew the regular, you know, creaking of an old mill house, but nothing happened whatsoever.
Right.
Well, because Chad's like me, very analytical and whatever, and doesn't believe in, and he's, you know, skeptical and everything. But when I left and his now wife moved in, came in from out of state, she was already, like you're saying, brought up to hearing those stories. I'm gone for years at that point, a couple of years, and they're still there for years after I'd leave. Then all of a sudden, they start seeing, well, I don't know about Chad, but she did, started seeing and hearing things, and saw my grandma apparently, and, you know, heard things happen or things. I don't know exactly all the individual things. I know one specific one. She said she was going up in the attic and saw her in some way. I don't know exactly,
right,
you know, how she would describe it, but that just shows you, again, it goes back to what we're talking about. We never experienced anything with our own grandparents' house. But then she comes over there and goes in there and they hear something. All of a sudden there's ghost stories every week.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Did they wait till I moved out?
You know, that's what I mean. Did they wait till I moved out? Did they just want to talk to Chad?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
What about this?
I don't know what that means.
If there's an afterlife, okay, let's say there's a quote unquote heaven, like we've been told.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where when you go there, you see all your deceased relatives and stuff, right? You get to hang out with them again. What if when you pass away, you go, you see your grandma, you're like, oh, it's so good to see you, and she scolds you and says, I tried so hard to contact you, but you kept thinking it was the house settling, and this book just happened to slide to the edge of the bookshelf and fall off. That was me. You just were so close-minded.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and here's how I would respond. Grandma, if you pushed the fucking book off the shelf, why couldn't you just write on a piece of paper?
No, who knows? It could be like ghosts. It takes all that energy.
You had to push the penny.
Yeah.
To push the penny up the door or really focus.
Or, now again, what made me think of that was this thought, actually. What do you think of this? Because some mediums, right?
We just talked about those guys.
You know, remember when they would be doing a reading and they would act like they're looking over the shoulder of the person they're reading and say, oh, I see you're so-and-so standing there. She's wearing this. She's got shoulder-length hair, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay, so let's say, what if now some people are just more sensitive, and so the spirit, ghost, whatever you want to call it, is doing the same things all the time, but sensitive people see them. Sensitive people hear them. Again, I don't know. That's just a thought.
It's certainly an angle. I mean, you know, it can be something where it's almost like, I believe that a lot of people with anxiety and stuff are just more sensitive than normal people because they feel everything in their body. True. Like me, I'm one of those people. Now, I don't know if that goes into the spirit realm
outside. But what you're saying, like, you sometimes can feel your heartbeat.
And everybody else would never think about it, and even if they did, but they don't even feel it. But I have, all the time. So I think that's certainly a thing, but that's more of a physical health thing or whatever that goes into psychological stuff, I guess. But so I don't know how, like, what I'm saying is, if I'm sensitive to that, would I be sensitive to other things like that if they're real? I don't know. I don't know the physiology and all that stuff. Is we need an expert, but
because it's easy to, you know, with one giant swath go, there's nothing. There's nothing.
And it's easy to say, but there's no ghost or spirits or anything if you hadn't experienced it.
Right. Of course, it's easy. The thing is, our brains, man, they can play tricks on us. We know that.
Absolutely.
I mean,
remember, we do have all the answers. If you think about the Matrix, it did explain everything. It explained ghosts and werewolves and vampires.
Yeah,
it's just a program not doing its job.
It's a glitch.
It's a glitch.
Yeah. Hey, did you grow up hearing that if you see a cardinal, it's a loved one? The deceased loved one coming back to visit you.
That sounds familiar.
Thing I was raised, you know. So when you said your mom saw a bird, you know, I was thinking, oh man, it might have been a cardinal. And then you explained it. So I love that story you told, but it made me think of that. So my whole life, like, there's been all these crazy things about that kind of stuff brought up.
Yeah.
It's just interwoven into who I am.
Right. And that's what I was going to say about the story with my mom. You know, that made her, that experience, I mean, that had to be pretty powerful.
Sure.
Because it made her want to, like, get a thing with John Edward and shit. And I had to explain to her how that was done.
And
she wanted it to be true so bad, she was going to go actually spend a shit ton of money to try to talk to Doug again.
Right.
And that's what we kind of talked about that on the other podcast about these, you know, James Randi and busting these mediums that exploit people's emotions for money. So it was one of those things where she had never been raised with ghost stories, like I was saying. She grew up in the same exact house that I lived in that all of a sudden when I left, Chad and them had ghost experiences.
Yes.
And it didn't fit with her having that preconceived stuff. But the love there, the loss and all that stuff, and you want it to be real.
Emotion. These emotional scars, man. It takes a while for those to heal, and it causes you to think those thoughts and that you normally wouldn't. Normally your mom would not want to spend that money to do something like that. But
and again, that was a long time ago. Now she completely knows about these skeptics and stuff, and because I had that little background in magic, so that's what made me look into, you know, mentalism and stuff like that and how they did it and cold reading, et cetera. So I had to explain that to her. And, you know, for a while, she was probably just like, no, it was real. But I think now she's looking back saying, you know, it was kind of like coincidence type thing. I don't know. I haven't spoken to her about that particular story in a long time. But she did get off the medium thing.
Right. And that's a shame, too, because, like, if by chance that because I'm skeptical when it comes to mediums, but if by chance there are real people who are sensitive to things like that, it sucks that so many have been caught.
It's like anything. If there's one bad apple, the rest of them are labeled too or whatever, if that is a thing.
Yep.
I don't personally believe that to be a thing, but some people may.
I did want to bring something up. I'm surprised you didn't. I forgot that I did tell you at my new apartment I heard a ghost. Remember they said,
"Oh well,
stop it," or something like that from the other room.
I forgot about it because I don't believe it.
I know. That one, you know, if I really believed it hard, I would be spending the night over here all the time.
Exactly. That's what was funny, too. I was going to hack on you a minute, too, because you said, I told you that story about me and Baker going camping, and we heard the knocking in the woods because there's a lot of people who do Bigfooting, which is a thing here.
Yeah.
You know, that became a popular thing on TV, a lot of shows about it. So everybody started going out Squatch hunting. And we heard knocking. I won't go the whole story, but basically we heard some knocking. At first we was in individual tents, right?
Right.
And, you know, we heard knocking. We didn't say anything. 5 minutes later, we heard it again. it was like, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard it type thing. Cause we were just got in a tent going to sleep after sitting by the fire and fishing all day and whatever. Third time, three loud knocks. We got out with guns drawn and it was close. I mean, we got flashlights and guns and we were looking through the woods. Right. And you had said when I told you that story, I'd be in your damn tent. And I've always wondered,
yep,
like that. I understand like wanting to be with some other person. I get that. But like you hold on to Chris's ankles or you being in my tent, what am I going to do? How do you fight a ghost?
I just don't want to be alone. That's right.
Yes. So I think it goes into the psyche thing about not wanting to be alone, because you know I can't do anything. What are you supposed to do against a poltergeist?
I know what you mean.
You know,
in that scenario with Chris, I was on the outside of the couch.
Yeah.
That's so, what really aggravated me. I was wanting to get up on the edge and slide down into the crack.
Right. So he's the first one that gets got.
Hell yes. Yeah. I would have got under him if I could have. But
that's always made me wonder, though. You know, you see the movies and you hear the stories when, you know, it's kind of almost a cultural thing. Just get under the blanket. Don't look.
Oh, I know.
Because if you don't look, it's not there.
God, I know, dude.
And I think there's some truth to that, you know, but it's weird at the same time, because what are covers going to do?
Nothing.
And if I'm in a self-defense mode, I'm looking. I want to know where the enemy is.
Right.
That's just me. So I don't get the idea of like running and hiding my face and not looking where the fuck it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
But I get it. I guess it's the old, you know, kind of like if you don't look, it ain't there type thing, which I think, again,
I've told you before.
Mental thing.
I said something one time, we laughed about it, where I was like, I've acted like I was asleep, so trying to fake out the ghost or something.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. You said something like you were thinking about it, or I can't remember what you said.
The one I'm just talking about where it said, stop it, from the other room, and I was like, I acted like I didn't hear it.
Yeah, like so it wouldn't affect you. James ain't scared of me.
Yeah, James ain't scared. Yep.
That's right. So trying to psych out a ghost.
And do you ever, you know, when you were a kid and you would like run and jump off your bed so nothing could reach out and grab your foot from underneath the bed?
Yeah, now I do remember, because, you know, again, it's the movies.
Right.
You think about things under your bed. Hell, it's in a Metallica song. It's in songs and movies.
Yes.
Yeah, you do think about that. Or your foot hanging over the edge.
Yes, yes.
That,
good point.
Even skeptics think about that shit. I mean, because it's ingrained. If your foot's hanging over the side of the bed, something could grab it. I don't know how they couldn't grab it when it's not on this edge, but if it's hanging off, it's danger zone.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you pull it back real quick. Yeah. You're like, that's just a creepy feeling. Yeah,
right.
Do you remember me telling you about the new place, how I lay in bed and watch the laptop, and then all of a sudden I get this weird feeling that there's going to be an old lady leaning over it from the darkness?
Right, because you're just looking, staring into a square of light.
Yes.
And then you think
everything behind it's pitch black.
The fucking ring girl's going to be behind.
It's going to stick her head over top of the laptop into my light, and I'm going to see the hair hanging down.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Today I was getting dressed, and I had that creepy feeling that a hand was going to reach out from under the bed and grab my foot. And I literally backed up 2 feet going, shit, that's a weird feeling. I mean, I'm 46 years old.
Right.
If my kid was there, I would never act like that affected me.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
It's so weird how much tougher you are when you got somebody to protect.
It is
than
true.
When you're out there all by yourself. You
it's
know?
Absolutely true. Absolutely. That's funny, though. Just today, he stepped back 2 feet.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I don't want to see an old crusty
hand
stick out from under that
bed. For one thing, there ain't no ghost could fit under my bed or creature or monster. I can tell you that shit right now. Or my daughter's, for that matter, because there's shit crammed up under there like hell. I mean, that's my storage unit because I don't have one little closet up in this. I live in a closet.
Well,
but
I
guess that's what I was going to say. That just reminded me. I'm sorry to interrupt. But,
no, you're good.
You know, because I know somebody would say, well, they're metaphysical. It doesn't matter. Well, it does. Because if they can move things, if they can throw books off the shelves and knock down beer cans or whatever the case is, open doors with knives sticking in them, then it doesn't matter. They're a phase shift. I don't know how it works, you know. I'm
right,
just saying.
Like Nightcrawler.
There's too many contradictions in ghost stories is what I mean.
Yeah, and none of it none of it does make a lot of physical sense as far as physics go.
And I guess, to be fair, you know, it shouldn't in some ways.
That's true.
Because if we're talking about a metaphysical, spiritual thing, sure. But yet at the same time, I think that's what makes me more of a skeptic about it is if it, like, for example, if you would say, I just saw a thing floating through the air or whatever, I would believe that more than I would believe you saw a thing floating and then a thing fail, if that makes any sense at all. Because that way, at least it's consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Does that make sense? I don't know. Maybe it don't.
I see what you're saying.
But like, if it's a you know, a spiritual thing that's like a, we describe as a mist or a haze or a ghostly figure.
The classic girl with no legs and a white flowing dress.
There you go. Yeah. Where it's floating above the thing, you know, whatever. But yet it decides to randomly throw a book at you or something.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this, you know, like, well, last time we discussed this, we talked about things getting imprinted on antique furniture or an old doll like Annabelle, the movies. You know, I have always worried about that. And that, again, that's part of growing up like I grew up. When I go to an antique store or something,
right,
I sometimes worry about what am I bringing back into my house? Am I bringing something that's attached to something?
Yeah.
And so it's a crazy way to live. I mean, it really is. I get it. But I know just from watching documentaries, watching stories, I'm not alone. A lot of people think the same way. And I would like to trace it back to its origins.
Yeah, and that's what kind of what I was saying before. It makes sense in thinking that way because every ghost story has some kind of old thing to it. It seems to be.
Yeah.
There's never a ghost in a brand new house, is there? There's never a ghost attached to some object that's brand new manufactured in 2019.
Right.
It's always some ancient thing or whatever, I guess. But what about the guy that died next door to me, you know, a couple of years ago? Well, it's been a few more years than that now. But like,
I know what you're saying.
She never experienced anything after that, and the neighbors since then haven't either. It always seems to be these old classic houses or antiques, you know, the classic, you know, haunted house look. I bet people wouldn't sleep with the Freddy Krueger model I have in their room.
I'm sure there are people who wouldn't.
Because it's literally a model about a guy who can kill you in your sleep.
Yeah.
But yet I have it in my room right beside my bed. And I bet there's people that would be like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. And see, that's probably why my CPAP hose tried to strangle me while I was living
here. That's right. It might be.
Other than my dreams, I never felt anything here. You know, you could be gone camping or whatever. I could be here alone for a weekend. I never felt freaked out here. Never got any kind of weird feeling here. And that is odd for me. But if I heard that a new house was haunted, again, I would go back to the poltergeist thing like, oh, it was built on an Indian burial ground. Or let's say a watch, a manufactured in 2019. Somebody found out it was haunted. Where do you think my mind would go? Yeah. Or you know what I'm saying? Anything. Yeah, you said object that was made. I would be like, maybe the guy who was making it on the assembly line had a heart attack and died.
Right. Or no, somebody killed him while he was wearing it.
Imprinted it, you know, into it somehow.
Yeah, and that's a big thing too, as far as just a science piece of it, because that goes into a lot of the ghost hunter stuff and all that, people trying to prove it. And I'm fine with that. I mean, I want to see it, you know. It's like UFOs. I want to see an alien.
Yes.
But the imprint thing, and that, because that's a big thing about the, whether it's a house or an object or whatever, like you were saying, there's just nothing science. There's, you know, it's like chi. You know, as a martial arts guy who looked into everything from the time I was a kid up until a few years ago, chi, you know, use your chi and you can do this or you can do that or you can get hit here and not feel pain. Bullshit. There's just no such thing as chi. Scientifically, there's never been proven. So it's almost the same thing. There's no random energy floating that gets attached to something with a consciousness, is what I'm saying. Yes, right. There's energy. Yes, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But like it has to have a conscience, and that's the difference to me.
And for me, I've always thought, and it could be Hollywood, it could, you know, stories or whatever, that you're more than likely going to get a haunting or you're going to get a ghost stuck somewhere – if somebody dies before they should have, if that makes sense.
Well, like traumatic.
Or very traumatic, violent. There was a lot of spiritual energy happening right then, fighting for their life kind of thing. I don't know. Or again, they're kind of just lost in limbo because they slipped on a melting ice cube in their kitchen, fell and, you know, died in their kitchen at 25. And they were supposed to have this long life,
right?
A million grandkids and stuff. I don't know. I think weird shit like that. Like,
yeah. I think about that too when we were talking about these kind of subjects. And it's like, you would think, because you would think, at least for religious people,
yeah,
that this would be a no-no. But yet most religious people are the ones who believe this type of stuff. Because
right.
If you're saying that somebody is trapped in between worlds at death, then there is why is their God not, you know, saving the day there?
And that does. It contradicts a lot of things.
Because
a lot of people think as soon as you die, your spirit's gone to wherever it's going to go, up or down.
That's right. If you're in between, because it's like the old, I think, is it Catholicism? If you kill yourself, you're in limbo.
One of them,
I believe. So there are things like that, but somebody, like you said, that's a good person, not a hardcore sinner. Everybody's a sinner, of course, in religion, but you know what I mean? Destined to go to heaven, the traditional heaven, and, gets hit by a bus or, like you said, slips in the kitchen and hits their head on the corner of the thing and dies, whatever. And they're stuck. Why are they being punished?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's really weird to explain the thought process behind that. It's kind of like everybody has a predetermined path and an expiration date kind of.
Right.
If you screw up somehow and mess that up, you have to wait until that expiration date.
Yeah, and it's like the movie Ghost, which was a great movie, by the way. His whole thing was that he had to say something to Demi Moore before he walked to the light.
Yeah,
he had to expose the guys who killed him.
Right,
that was his job. So that he had a purpose. In other words,
that was a great movie.
It really was. So he had to expose the guy, and that's why he was left as a ghost.
Yeah,
in the first place.
Yeah.
And once he exposed him, all that shit, then he said goodbye, walked to the light, and he went up to upstairs, I guess.
And the other guy that he encountered on the subway that taught him how to do this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like he was pissed because he was stuck there. He was walking through there slapping papers out of people's hands and stuff. It was like, he was tired of being stuck there.
Yeah, so he didn't find his purpose.
Right.
I guess it was.
And so that's a cool thing to delve into right there too. I don't know. I told my stories, and I, as everybody can tell by this deep into the podcast, I totally do believe as you can also tell by listening to podcasts, I'm kind of trying to figure out why I believe.
I think that's good. I was going to say that actually because a lot of people would just tell that story and be like, that's it. It's real. 100%. No doubt about it. There's just ghost. But at least you're saying, I know it could be this or it could be that, or I was almost influenced and conditioned. So that's a skeptical mind. That's actually a skeptical mind. So that's, and I'm trying to also remain open to the fact that I don't know everything. Science don't explain everything now, but they're working towards it, of course.
Yeah.
So there's things you just can't explain, but I don't know the details, but of every particular incident. But
this seems to be one of those phenomena that when you hear people tell the story, they're more level-headed, normal people tell that they've seen ghosts than, say, UFOs. And I know there are some very believable UFO people or alien people who have seen them. And, with this, every walk of life, somebody has experienced some kind of supernatural ghost encounter, whether it be visited from a loved one or something, doors opening or whatever. And so you can tell the person is not like making it up, but
Oh yeah,
there's just no telling what it really was.
It's kind of like since I've been here, you know, I've been here so long, I know every noise, every bump, every creak, every whatever. When there's a new one, I get up and look.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever if I'm asleep, which is usually when you hear things because everything's quiet, all the TVs are off, there's no radios, there's no music, and there's no cars. So that's when it happens. Is why I was going back to the dark thing. Because that's when you hear things that you still happen all day long, but you have TVs blasting and music and cars going by or whatever, and or headphones on, editing all day or whatever it is. So those things are still happening, but you just hear them once you cut off everything.
Yeah, and I've never understood how you can sit at your computer with your back facing the door right. with your headphones on all day. I could never, ever, my chair, I'd have that room organized.
Where you're
facing the door.
Facing the door, right.
Yeah. And I don't know. I was just going to also say this. Because of the way my mind works, you'll never see me messing with a Ouija board, sitting in on a seance or anything like that. Because I am afraid of, you know, repercussions. What could happen? Because if it's real, I don't want to play with that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, even as a skeptic who don't believe it, I don't want to open any weird gateways if there is something. Still,
if there is, yeah.
Because I mean, yeah. So I agree with that. I mean, now I would go to one of these, you know, haunted things to. You know, like people go on these haunted things now and they take their, we were talking about that really quick and I guess we got to get out of here shortly, but they take these, what is it?
EMF
readings, which to me don't mean a damn thing.
Right.
But for some reason in ghost lore, it just became proof.
Right.
Like, oh, I got a reading. The light blipped. That means something's here. Really quick.
Never understood that either.
Yeah, I don't. So I don't get that. But I mean, I would do stuff like that. But yeah, I wouldn't get into any. I mean, try to like purposely get into a seance or some bullshit unless I'm trying to bust somebody. I will say real quick too. My buddy who owns quite a few pawn shops down south. He asked me, he was going on a week long vacation. So he sent me his webcams where he can watch over the stores. For me to watch for a week.
Oh yeah.
And there was he sent me a private website where I could see all the cameras, and you would see in those rooms orbs floating around all over the place. Now of course it's dust, but because you can see it come in and out of focus, but when it's in the right position, I mean, it looks creepy.
I'll guarantee.
But you know what that is. I mean, and so there's, you know, when that's the weird other thing too about ghost stories is there's so many different crazy forms. So they come up with there's orbs and there's ghosts and there's spirits and there's poltergeists and they do different kind of things. Like, how many different kinds do you need to explain things? The poltergeists are the ones that are feisty and they throw shit, but a spirit's calm and won't fuck with you. You know what I mean? So
yes.
There's just different categories.
I do know what you mean. I will say also, I've looked at a bunch of, I'm bad about looking at watching videos that scare me.
Yeah, you are horrible about
and
it.
So
you watch shark videos all day long and won't put your toe in the water, and you watch ghost stories.
Last night I was listening to this. It had my butthole drawn up. It was a damn.
The pucker factor was 10.
911 call. This is not ghost, but just to show how I torture myself. This young guy was at his house alone, and people broke in. And he was in his closet whispering to the 911 dispatcher.
Right.
And so on the screen, it was saying, it's been 7 minutes since 911 was called. No sirens in the background. No barking canines. You know, this guy is alone in his closet.
Oh, this is the text coming up on the
video. And he was going, he was describing, they were asking him questions like, what car should we expect to see in the driveway when we come up, you know, and he was telling them, and I'm like, stop asking him questions. He's trying to hide, you know, he's being quiet. this young guy had a gun and he shot and killed the guy. He came in, tried to come into his closet, and he shot and killed him, and the other guy ran. But that thing was so intense, dude, and I can't help it. I won't turn away from him.
Right.
I was so freaked out. But there's one YouTube video that I recommend anybody watch who wants to see a ghost video that I totally believe. a real ghost video.
I was going to say, YouTube. Every one I've ever seen has been debunked.
Right.
I've never seen a real one.
This one, and this one might jar your memory. It's a hotel where people call the front desk complaining about noise in the room next door.
Yes, I know which one
and
you're talking
about.
And
they send the maintenance man, and you can see him through the surveillance camera.
Right.
He goes to the door, and you can hear screaming coming through the door. And so he's scared to go in there. When he goes in, like, all the lights are on. The carpet is ripped up to shreds. All the beds are flipped up. You don't get to see this, but this is what the video tells you.
Right.
And the bathroom water's on. The sink and bathtub are on wide open. Nobody's in the room. But as he enters, you see
a figure
like drift out into the hallway from out of that room. And there's something to that. I don't know what that is, but you can definitely hear the screaming.
Yeah, I remember that one, thinking that's the weirdest one I've seen. But and I don't know about this in particular, but I did get into YouTube and talking to people. I quickly learned that all those great viral videos that seem to be real, most of them were marketing campaigns.
With the dishes flying and the cabinets flat, yep. I hated it when I heard that. Because when I first saw them, I was like, oh my God, this guy caught ghosts on.
Yeah, I got a buddy who's a big YouTuber. You've heard him before on the old podcast, but he's the one that educated me about viral videos and how he has to purchase them to talk about them or do commentary over them. And he said he was in the same boat, where he was so disappointed when he first learned that all these things were fake. They're all faked, made up, like produced things to go viral, because you follow the money and ends up being a marketing campaign for something, or used in some way to grow something. So video, I'm so skeptical of now.
Yeah, because when we were talking to him, that one where the guy jumps into the water with a GoPro attached to him. And
yes.
As soon as he jumps in, you see a great white.
Yes.
And he kind of waves it off and everything. It looks so real.
Yes.
There's a guy getting, chased by a bear on a bicycle?
Bear on a bicycle through the woods.
It looks so real.
It does. And then he hits a stump and hops off his bike, but the bear stops.
Yes.
Like he couldn't smell him.
Dude. And
yeah, that was fake. I mean, everything. So it's disappointing, you know, when you find out that kind of shit. So I don't trust YouTube, because I know the video you're talking about, and it's pretty freaky.
It is.
But it goes back to the same thing, the contradiction. There's a floating thing coming out the door, but it just tore up the room physically.
Well, here's the thing, and we're just hearing that it did. Because
exactly.
It doesn't show the video go in there and
right.
show you all this stuff. But how many surveillance videos have sound? Or I can't remember the video that well. Is the sound where you hear the screaming, is that coming through his walkie-talkie?
I think it was the walkie-talkie, because
he's
radioing
it up,
the front
talking,
desk.
You can hear the screaming.
Because I think it's just
yeah. That was a really freaky one. And but there's one more where some lady's in a break room and chairs are sliding and stuff.
That, I remember that one.
You know, those two right there seem to stand out to me. But,
and there was another one at a school with lockers coming open and the doors being open and stuff at night.
I forgot
and
about that
was proven to be.
Yeah.
They showed that was set up. So
forgot all about that.
Yeah,
one.
You can't. It's so hard to research and find anything that you find you can even believe is legit anymore, because it can be all set up.
If you guys, if you guys have any, share them in the comments.
Yeah,
because remember the one Val? Remember the one Val shared with me, and I sat in here and watched it. But it was all in Spanish.
Yeah. The house.
Yeah, haunted house.
Yes.
Yes. That was in another country, and that was so scary. But, I couldn't understand them, but I could kind of tell what was going on.
Yeah, and then I saw the follow-ups of that and how they did it and stuff. And somebody, because you'll have a lot of people going in and showing exactly how they set all the shit to fly out the cabinets or whatever. And so it's that's what sucks. If there's anything real out there, that's what makes it hard to prove. Like you said, because there may be something going on, but you got all these people hoaxing. It's almost like Bigfoot, you know?
Because that's the one thing we do know for sure. If, in fact, because like I said, when I told my story, we know the door's real, we know the knife's real.
Yeah.
That could be caught on camera.
Right. Exactly.
They can't hide
if that. Something happened in that house when you were there, if what happened is if what you think happened with the door flying open, him stomping through the rest of the house, turning down the hall or whatever you said, that door was shut again and a knife went back into the thing to jam it.
And at least if there was a camera set up, I would see the door bust open, the knife fly,
right,
land on the ground,
slide across the floor.
May not see the ghost. But later, I would also see the door slowly shut and the knife come back up and go in there. So somebody someday, if this shit's real, we'll catch it on video.
Yeah, right. I mean, because it has to happen that way. Otherwise, you're talking about other dimensional shit, which is actually a theory.
Oh, gosh.
You know, we won't get into that here, but there's, you know, that's almost like the Matrix shit, you know, string theory or interdimensionals or multiverse. And those ghost experiences are something to do with, you know, universes bumping. There's all,
yes,
kinds of crazy stuff that really could explain it in a scientific way.
Agreed.
So that's why my mind remains open to the fact that there's something going on, but it's just not what people think's going on. That's my final stance.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good place to end it. Because I've always thought that could be the case.
Yeah, because I'm not going to sit here and call everybody crazy. I'm not going to call you crazy for thinking you saw a ghost, or because there's too many. So something's happening, but I just think at some point it can be explained by science.
Well, that video we watched said, what, 45% of people believe?
Yep,
yeah,
45%.
That's a big population.
And I think that'll probably over time drop, like superstition has, you know,
yeah,
things like that. So anyway, I guess we'll leave it there. That was,
sure,
that was good. That was a good discussion. I enjoyed it.
I did too.
But yeah, we'll let us know in the comments on YouTube. If you're listening to this on another platform like iTunes or Google Play or Podbean, whatever, be sure to subscribe on YouTube and help us out there. If you don't mind, give us a like and subscribe. And also on these other platforms, give us a rating.
Please do.
It really helps us out. And let us know in the comments. So we're asking you to go to YouTube because I read the comments there every day.
Yes.
So let us know ghost experiences, or you know, if you're skeptical, or if you thought you had an experience, but then you explained it later. Any of that stuff, it'd be cool.
We'd love to hear about it.
And we'd love to hear about it. So let us know. Again, as I mentioned, available everywhere. Give us a rating, subscribe on YouTube, and think about joining our Patreon. We're going to have these episodes up early for Patreon access as well. So it'll be up early, a day before the public at least, if not longer. And then there'll be some other stuff we'll throw in there. I think we got shirts coming soon.
Sweet, Dad.
So we're trying to get legit here. We're trying to get legit. And one day we're going to add video, damn it. We're just waiting. I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting, damn it.
I'm putting good juju on it. It's going to happen. Trust me.
I hope so. I pray to the ghost. Help out. Jesus Christ. Anyway, all
hope
right.
You're not, I hope your house doesn't get built on a burial
ground.
Oh,
I know. Please. Yeah, no, look, I will say that. If that was the thing, I would not disturb that. Just out of respect. Not necessarily thinking something's going to come out of the ground and scare
me. Yeah.
But, you know, just come on, man. You know, don't build on a burial ground, Jesus. You know, because we had an old haunted house in my old neighborhood. It's been ripped down now. You know, people thought they saw lights and stuff, but there were lights up there because they still have power on. And it was like one light that the power company had put up there, and we found because we snuck in there.
Oh, yes.
So everybody was like, you know, night, the lights come on. I'm like, yeah, they do. Because it was actual, just a regular light pole.
That's still creepy, though.
But back behind that was some old graves near the lake. And yeah, it was just creepy seeing them because they were so old looking, you know.
Yes.
So, you know, you get a little bit of that anyway. As a kid, it's definitely in the pop culture. This is a cultural phenomenon, obviously.
100%, dude.
Yeah. And it has been for a long time, I guess. It's just got, you know, I guess the stories have changed from, you know, different locations to now Americanized and everything else. So,
well, the dead have always freaked people out, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Because I think it, at the heart of it, it goes back to the ultimate question.
Yes.
I think that's the reason. And it will always be a thing because until that question's answered, which it may never be, probably won't. Why are we here? What happens after death? That's at the root of this, somewhere in the psyche.
That just reminded me, and I won't take much time, but you ever look through old people's photo albums?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
they always seem to have, like, pictures of loved ones in a casket.
Yes,
and it's
God.
Like, dude, I would never whip out my camera at a funeral and take a picture of the person in the casket.
But
that's
get
something
that,
you know, all my old relatives used to do. Of course, you used to hear about them bringing their coffin into the house for a few days and people come visit, and that's all different now. But I don't know why I thought of that. But every old photo album you look at, there'll be dead people laying in there. And yeah. That used to freak me out when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's I don't get it. And all those old photos look creepy anyway.
They do.
That's another thing. People see, you know, so they think they can capture a ghost with a camera. Like, you, what do you mean? How do you caption with a camera, not with your own eye? I don't know.
The camera captures what we see.
Yeah, we see the blur. You know, there's all, and that's been shown so many times how you can fuck with cameras, you know, and make effects, and by accident. I'm not even saying on purpose. But anyway, let us know what you think. We'll let it fade out from here and just fade out as usual and fade to black.
What's that standing behind you?
It's Riddick. He's ready to go out, and he wants his PB, damn it.